It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Studying the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2 is where we're going to begin reading today. So Genesis chapter 2, and we'll read from the first verse through to the 17th verse. Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 1 through verse 17. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And we'd love to hear from you. It's always great to know that folks are listening and enjoying the study of the Word of God. Genesis chapter 2, I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the river and a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first was Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, and the gold of that land is good, and the delium and the onyx stone. The name of the second was Gihon, and the same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. The name of the third river was Hiddekel, which that it is which goeth towards the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. The Lord God took the man, put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The Lord God commanded man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Let's begin with prayer after we've read the precious word today. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of opening your word. Thank you for your power, your saving power. Thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. It's wonderful, Lord, as we live in this life that we not only can be saved and enjoy the sweet, sweet time with you, Lord Jesus, but also that we have a Father that forgives us because of the Son, the Lord Jesus, when we do make mistakes, which, Father, is often. Please, Lord, thank you for the day that you've given us. Thank you for your saving power as Jesus went to the cross of Calvary to die for us. Please, Lord, as we study this and complete the look at creation, the seventh day, as we have done in the past, and then we find our way down through looking at the plants, looking at the food, the two trees that are listed here, and then, Father, we come to the place of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. So Please, Lord, guide and lead us as we study your word today. We want your way and will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, it's wonderful to enjoy the study of the word. And we look back at the 8th verse, and it says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." And, you know, we find the same thing as we look in verse 15. "The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." And so it all just continues to come together. And, again, this is kind of a repeat of what we've had in the past chapter as we look through these verses of Scripture as God spoke into existence in 7 literal days, 6 literal days, all that we have, the heavens and the earth and everything of this earth, including man, was brought into existence, spoke into existence within 6 days. The 7th day he rested. And then, as we found last time we were together, that it had never rained. It had always, there had been a mist lift, not from above, but from below, that comes out of the land and out of the ground and come up to water everything. We can't imagine how beautiful that this earth was circled before the flood. It was beautiful before the curse of sin entered in, and it cursed not only the land and man, both. And so we need, and we'll, I'm sad to say, get to that way too soon. But as we look here at these, the beautiful things that we have that are made perfect, every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up in the, a mist from the earth, watered the whole face of the ground. That's the 6th verse, chapter 2. The Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, a precious place, a sweet place, with all the things that are necessary for perfect life was placed in this garden. We can't imagine how beautiful that this is. There'll be a time when we will see how beautiful that this will be, but that will only be when we receive our glorified eyes, when we die and leave this earth, and then we go on to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Our eyes will be opened. It will be wonderful, Lord, to walk with you and to serve you, and we won't have the weakness of sin that we have. It'll just be a glorious time. Well, that time is what we have right here. Everything perfect. Colors. The fruit. No blemishes on the apples. You know, if you get a bag of apples, while you have to look through a bushel of apples or a peck of apples, and you look through them, and, you know, this one's fine, and this one isn't any good, or you have to cut part of it out. That didn't exist. Every apple was perfect. Every apple had every necessary nutrient in it, of all the fruit, everything. It was wonderful, and everything was at peace with each other. The land, the animals, the man, everything was just fine. There went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And again, verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, that's kind of how far that we had gotten before. And as we look at these verses here, and we'll read through the river that came out of the garden and then went 4 different directions. But first of all, why we need to take just a quick look here at these 2 trees, and we'll continue to do so as we get further down into the chapter. But it is wonderful to look at this and to see how God has made everything. We have 2 trees, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, the tree of life is planted in this beautiful, perfect garden, made for man, made that man may enjoy himself, have all the pleasures that perfect pleasures God has desired to have. But yet in this garden, there is two trees. One's the tree of life. Now, we kind of talked just a little bit about this tree of life. Was it something that you had to eat each day so that you could continue life? I don't believe so. I think that it showed the presence of God. I think in its beauty and in its strength, in its size, in its glorious colors, whatever part is there, and we're going to go back to Revelations because that kind of fills us in on some things concerning this tree of life. But I believe that it gave a beautiful picture of the strength and the power of God with this mighty tree. This the tree of life was in the midst of the garden. Now let's look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. We just have a couple of verses of scripture here I'd like for you to see. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden, amidst of the paradise of God. And so here we're told that you will have part of that fruit of that tree. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is our tree of life. He is our eternal life. He is our perfect life. He is our strength. Everything I think that this tree pictured. And if you'll go now with me to Revelation chapter 22, it says something a little bit different, or a little, not different, but a little fuller. Revelation 22, 2. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, look at the explanation we have concerning there, the tree of life. The Lord Jesus Christ is living water. The Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And now we have something called the tree of life that we find in the midst of this garden. Was it a literal tree? I believe most certainly it was a literal tree. And it even spoke of the different fruits that was produced from it as the months passed. Isn't it wonderful how that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he created all the earth, that he put into place the seasons and everything. It's just wonderful that to know that my God spoke into existence all that we have. Please help us to see that and to know that. This strength, this mighty tree, the tree of life, did show by its presence the continuous life and happiness that we can have in the Lord Jesus. Do we know a lot about the tree of life? No, we don't. We know its location concerning the garden, and we know that it has a home eternally. As we look at what is presented here in Revelation. Now, some people would like to make that just a spiritual picture. It is a spiritual picture, but it's also a literal picture. And so I believe that that's going to come to pass, and we need to look to the Word of God to know its truth and enjoy it. Now, let's go on just a little bit to see what we know about this other tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the ninth verse, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know, as the tree of life, is it something that if you eat certain fruit of it, that it will poison you and harm your body, make you sick, maybe even die? Well, yes, death will come, but it wasn't something that was literally in the fruit. It was something that you did that brought you to that place. We're going to look at the 17th verse here in just a little bit. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So we're told that of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But it, again, as the tree of life, I don't believe Yes, I think the fruit is excellent and delicious, most beautiful. But is it something special that sustains your life? No, it's presence. Now, the same with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Was it that the fruit was poison? Yes, it was poison because it led, by its action of having, by the person's action of having that fruit of that tree, was disobedience. So, yes, it brought sin and death, but not necessarily from something that was poisonous in the fruit itself. We have a law, and that law is very clear. You know, that's what a law is. It's something that's stated. Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt surely die. That's a law. Don't eat the fruit of the tree knowledge of good and evil, as the Scriptures tells us here. Now, let's look just quickly to these rivers that we have between here, because then we get back to these two trees. And I know I didn't spend much time, but let's look at, there's a little bit of division here, and I want to take just a few minutes to take care of that, because we know very little about these rivers. One of them we still know, and that's the fourth river, the river Euphrates. And some of the lands we're still familiar with, the land of Ethiopia, the Scripture speaks of here. But let's once again, and bear with me as I read through these verses. Verse 11, the name of the first is Pison. That is it which compassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. Okay, do you know where Havilah is located? Remember once again that everything is changed after the flood. But we have listed here the gold of that land is good. There is the delium and the onyx stone. Those things are listed that we would find in that land. The name of the second is Gihon. The same is it that compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. Again, a land that we're still familiar with. And the name of the third river is Hedekel. That is it which goeth towards the east of Assyria, another land that we're still familiar with. And the fourth river is the river Euphrates. Now, those rivers, again, because of the flood, it totally has changed their direction, their course. But we find a river went out of Eden to water the gardens, and from thence it was parted and became four heads. And these four are the four that we have just listed. Part of them are still named today, whether it be for the land or for the country that it surrounds, but we are familiar with some of the names that are listed here in these scripture. Where those rivers lay today in relationship to the others, where is the Garden of Eden today? Because you see, we no longer know where it exists, and it tells us that a river went out from Eden to water the gardens. Okay, a lot of things have changed. But we need to take time to look at those verses of Scripture just for a moment. All changed when the curse arrived, when they decided, they went against the will of God and ate of the forbidden fruit, the fruit that was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And most people, for some reason, have placed that as an apple. Not necessarily at all. It is a fruit, we know, but nothing more. Now, as we look at this, at these scripture verses here, we find once again in the Lord God, then, see, we have the garden, we have all the beautiful land, we have the garden, we have the one river coming out of Eden that to water the garden, and then it divides into four different heads, four different directions. And the Lord God took the man, verse 15, put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, including the tree of life. It makes no distinction of that tree, however it does, but, verse 17, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, as we look at these verses of Scripture here, these last ones, we have the garden, we have the beautiful universe God has spoken into existence, we have man placed in the garden for the purpose of to dress it and to keep it, to care for it. He was a farmer, and he went in to grow the crop, to till it, to enjoy growing it, to watch it to grow, and enjoying the harvest, and partaking, eating of the harvest, all these things. The man enjoyed. And there was only one law, one restriction. And we find that here in the 17th verse. And but the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So, we've got man in the garden. We have the beautiful garden. We have the rivers flowing from it. And we have the tree of life in the midst of all this beautiful garden and the other trees. But we have this tree of knowledge of good and evil. This tree, we have been given by God Himself a rule, a statement, a law. Anything and everything you can have and enjoy except of this tree. That was the only restriction. God set forth one rule. Could man follow one rule? Could he not mess up if there is just one rule? Don't eat of this tree. The day you do is the day you will die. That was the rule. That was the law. It was good. As we eat and enjoy all the other fruit, all the other things of the garden. But this law, it is not to be eaten of this tree. Was there something evil about the tree? No. What's evil about it? Evil comes is if someone eats of the tree. Why? I've already said that there is nothing wicked or poisonous about what this tree produces. It is something that is being, you're being disobedient to God. He sent one rule. What is good? Don't eat of it. That's good. Everything else is good. Everything else is great. But what's good about this, to maintain that, don't eat. What's evil? If you eat. It's that simple. What happens? What would happen if Adam decided to eat of the single tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil? What would happen? Everything else was his. Can you imagine, as we look down to the 18th verse, the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Wonderful. The Lord God, as he looked knew as he created, he was going to create woman. He has placed man after creating him, all the animals, all the trees, all the plants, everything, stars of the sky, the sun, moon, everything is in its place. Everything is perfect. Man is there enjoying the garden, enjoying all the things that God has perfectly put into place. But there's that one tree. What's going to happen? What would happen if man would eat of that tree? Again, would he be poisoned? No. To To do right, to do good, is not to eat of the tree, but to do evil is to eat of the tree. Adam, I believe, will receive the knowledge of good by the loss of it. Now you think about that. How, when someone is living in a totally perfect environment, totally, does not have the nature, the natural sin in him like I do. He does not have that. So what is it of this tree that would be a gain to him or a weakness to him? What's going to happen here? Well, if everything is perfect and good, if everything is perfect and good, and someone eats of this tree, the only thing to show you that will be different is as evil comes in, you'll recognize the loss of that perfect world, the loss of fellowship with God, the loss of the beautiful garden, because we know as we continue to go through these verses of Scripture, he'll be banned from the garden. But when Adam would receive this knowledge of good, it'll be because of the loss. And that sounds like a strange explanation. The knowledge of good and evil. But he'll really recognize that knowledge by the loss of good when evil comes in. By the loss of good. He says, thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You know, as we look at the covenant that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ, let's look at Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke in the New Testament. Luke 16, 16. Luke 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Notice they left the baptism out because it's believing is what is the work that comes. That's the covenant we have, the covenant of grace. Not only that we believe and are saved, but the other side of it is that if you believe not, you're damned. Well, in the garden, this covenant of innocence, had it not only do this and live, in this case, do not eat and live, which was confirmed in the tree of life. We have that beautiful tree of life, but then with the tree of knowledge, and so do this and live. In other words, follow after the tree of life. I don't want to confuse you with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because you see, the other side of us, but if you eat and die. So you have blessing and cursing. We have the two trees. We have first in the garden the tree of life. That's the covenant of grace. Believe. Listen to the word of God. But we also have the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you do not listen to the will of God and the word of God, you will die. Both sides. If you believe, you'll be saved. Believe not, you'll be damned. Look to the tree of life, or go to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, life and death. My dear friend, come by faith to Jesus today. What are you going to do about Jesus?